Hello, everyone. I want to promise everybody that I am not wearing the same shirt as I was wearing yesterday. This is a very different white shirt with a puffy sleeve. Yesterday I had enormous puffy sleeves with a three quarter. Today is the small puffy sleeve. It's a long. Just had to get that out there. All right, let's get you guys in here. Let me tell you about today's call and what all we're doing. Today we're talking about the future self. And so I am going to kind of just talk a little bit about the future self and clear up a few things. And then what I want to do is, if you have questions, if you'll put them in the Q&A, that would be awesome. And Coach Betsy is over in the chat. So if you just want to chat about things over there, feel free. In fact, a lot of you are coming in. Hello, Gina, Ramona from the North Dakota. Do we have any Minnesotans? I just have to tell you, my son is a huge fan of the Minnesota. Last night, we had dinner, and it's so funny because my son is a really good example of what the future self is all about. When I think about one of the most important concepts about future self, it's allowing yourself to see where you want to be so that the evidence to get there, the how to get there, starts becoming more clear. What I notice is a lot of people like, well, I don't want to think about the future self in case I disappoint myself. I'm afraid I won't get there and all these other things. It's like, if you're afraid you won't get there, not thinking about the future self is a guaranteed winner to be able to make that bad wish come true. If you are like, well, I've never been there before. It's like, okay, so we'd never went to the moon before. We figured that out. I'm pretty sure we could figure out some weight loss. If you get stuck in the future self thinking, well, I've never been there before, then you need to say, like, you know what? I don't have to have been there before. If other people could do it, surely I can do it. And this is what I also think is really cool about future self. It's the concept of, even if you were the first one, somebody always had to dream to be the first person to do something. It always started with thinking about it, like wanting it, and then actively going about figuring out how to get there. So Logan, he wants to live in Minnesota so bad when he graduates from high school. In his mind, he has already visualized what graduation is going to be like. He's going to graduate from high school. He wants to be able to like say, and at his school, because it's really small, every single person talks on stage for graduation. And he wants to be able to go on stage and say, I did it. Tomorrow, I have booked my flight. I am like putting down the deposit on my first apartment, you know, all the things. And so it would be easy for us to laugh and like, well, he's a kid. He doesn't really know and blah, blah, blah. That is our bullshit that we like do. Do you know what he's not doing? He's not coming up with reasons why he can't. He just thinks that there must be a way if I can dream it. Like, he literally thinks really hard about this. So he has been working and saving money. He realized that saving money wasn't going to get him there. So he asked us, could he start an investment account so that his money could work for him when he's in school and he can't work himself? Like, these are the things he started figuring out because he had a dream. And then when he had a dream, he decided to set a goal. And then when he had that goal, he set many goals underneath it. He knows how much money he wants to make each summer. And then because of that, he knows how much hours he needs to work. Like, I watch him and I think, what is the difference between him and all of us? And it is that he just doesn't buy into, I can't do it. Now, this is not to say that every now and then he thinks it'll be hard. He sometimes wonders, you know, does he have enough time? Like, he starts asking himself questions like that, like, will I have enough time to save money? But when he comes up on his mental obstacles, he sees them as obstacles and not as his stop signs. He literally just goes to work on trying to figure it out. And for all of you like who think he's not going to Minnesota because of the cold, I just have to say his poor mother is I'm a total tropical babe. Like, I'm wanting to move to Puerto Rico. I mean, like, seriously, he's been there when it's been -3 and trudged through knee to thigh high snow and has loved every bit of it. In fact, he wants us to go visit more. But I just wanted to kind of open with that because I want us all to think about our future selves. I love this lesson. This is the lesson where you need to set aside your doubt and your fear and your unnecessary suffering for a moment and just be like, you know what? The worst that's going to happen is I'm going to come up with some stuff that I'm going to want to do. I still get to decide if I'm going to do it. Like this whole part of the lesson is really like of all of no BS, this is where we're just going to put a stake in the ground for what we're working towards so that we can really anchor down and start figuring out how to get there individually. Like what realistic plan is going to make sense for you? Not what makes sense for your neighbor, not what makes sense if you wanted to lose 30 pounds in a week, all that stuff. It's like, it really helps you get into alignment with the way you want to get there, the feelings you want to have, the way you want to think, why you want it so bad, all those things. So I'm going to talk about some of that stuff tonight. Again, if you have questions, just put them in the Q&A. I made some notes. Let me pull them up because I want to make sure that I cover my notes. So, oops, I lost you guys. Hang on. Let me find you guys. Let me put my notes over here and I'll put me right here. So I want you guys to think about how much time you're already spending thinking about losing weight. We spend a lot of time thinking about it. What's it going to be like? What am I going to have to go through this weekend? We just do a lot of the thinking. But one of the things that we forget to do is we forget to like ask ourselves, what is it going to take to make those things happen? One of the lessons that I've learned recently that I absolutely loved was, and this is where a lot of the newbies are, and if you've been struggling, this is where you are. The hardest step in the process of weight loss is going from 0 to 1. It's literally the hardest step there is. When you are not doing anything and getting started, it is like that gap is this big. And then the step from 1 to 2, once you've taken the first big step of like, okay, today I'm making the 24-hour plan. It's much easier to make one the next day. The hardest day will always be the first one. The next hardest 24-hour plan will be the one that you make after you didn't follow the first one. And then that's going to be the hardest one because that's almost like when I say starting over from zero, it's not because you have to throw away all your progress. It's because you will think it's like starting over. It will feel as if it's starting over, even though it's not. It is still just step two. So like when I think about weight loss, I think of like 0 to 1. Like if I can get people to go from 0 to 1, I feel pretty sure we're going all the way. And then 1 to 2, the gap shortens. And then 2 to 3, 3 to 4, it just keeps shortening as you keep taking steps towards your future. What you cannot afford to do is to sit around and think about all of your past and bring in like, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. I've never been able to do it before. I was listening to a book and one of the things that she said was, when you think I can't do it, write it down and then change one word. I won't do it. Like I won't make my 24-hour plan. I won't follow it today. It's not that we can't follow plans. It's because we won't. If you start thinking about it in that mindset, I won't starts putting you into future mindset. Here's why. I can't means I'm thinking about stuff probably from my past, even if my past was yesterday, that I'm using as a victim-ass way to hold me back. I won't immediately puts me in the present, aligns me with I just won't do it today. And that's someone thinking about where they want to go, not about where they've been. It makes you think in a whole different way because it feels like, oh shit, this truly is my choice. It's not that I can't do it. Like this is where we just start telling ourselves the truth. And so I think that's such a powerful exercise. And it's not included in this lesson, but this is why we do these calls because I'm constantly learning new techniques for you guys. So one of the interesting things that I think you guys could do is like a bonus piece of work is to make your list of things that you catch yourself saying, I can't do. And then change it to, I won't do it. See how that feels. And then if I believed I was going to do it, I would start by doing this one simple thing. I think that right there will so clear up a lot of the bullshit. It allows you to start thinking about your future. It allows you to start looking towards where you're going, what you're willing to do, what's possible for you versus staying stuck and beating yourself up and going to your past and using it as a limitation. One of the things that you'll find is you'll make that list and you'll be sitting there and you'll think, well, you know, Corinne, you don't know. You don't know what's happened in my past. You don't know this. And it's like, look, here's what I know about limitations. If you argue for your limitations, the only thing you get to do is keep them. If you don't argue for your future, you don't argue for where you want to go. If you don't think about where you want to go, there's no path forward. So all a future self is thinking about having some clarity. Where am I going? And what is the easiest way possible to get there? What is going to be the surefire way that if I just stop doing these things like beating myself up, if I stop quitting each day, if I stop eating at 8 o'clock at night and just like stop automatically going to the pantry, if I was just to put a pause of 5 minutes in, would that make a difference? We have to stop, like think of all the things that we're willing to stop doing. And then you go to, so I'm going to stop doing that. Then that means I'm going to be trying what? And I think that that's another important concept about the future self is that the future self is not perfect. The future self doesn't get there without mistakes. And the future self doesn't get there because they finally got some like A, B, C, D, E, F and never had to like suffer for their goal. They never had to have a bad day. They never had to have an overeat and be like, fuck me. But the future self gets there because they're trying so many things. Like when you guys like, well, what do you think? Should I eat a snack in the afternoon? Sometimes I'm binging. Sometimes I'm doing this. And I'm like, I don't know. Have you tested it yet? Did it work? Did it not? If it didn't work, what do you think could be nuanced? It is like, that is a future self mindset. It is not that Corinne knows so much more stuff than you guys. What I know is how to ask positive questions of myself rather than asking stupid questions like, you know, why can't I just get my shit together? It's like, I don't know. Answer the question. If you're going to ask those questions, give it an answer. Because here's what happens. If you don't answer those questions, that's like every question, I always call them just my stupid questions I ask myself. Like, why am I such a fuck up? Because I think that sometimes. And I'm like, okay, that is the most asinine question. But if you're going to ask it, you need to answer it in a journal. So I get out my journal. I write, why am I a fuck up? And I write all my duty thoughts. I do. I just write them out. They're in there. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm not judging them. I'm not worried about them. I'm not thinking they need to go away. I'm giving them their escape route. Rather than them just rattling around in there trying to prove to me all the time why I'm a fuck up, I put it on the paper. And then once I see it, I ask myself, is there any like BS here? Am I exaggerating? Am I catastrophizing? What is real and what's not here? I allow myself to see the other side. That is my future self. My future self is like, oh girl, we could tell this way better. We could tell this in a new way. If we can't make it better, we can for fuck sure lower the temperature. We don't have to describe everything as a fuck up. So thinking about that stuff. One of the other things that I wanted to cover was there's a lot of questions that always come up in this module about, hang on a second. Oh, that thing's just a heater. Man, I'm hot as balls in here. Hang on 1 second. I'll pause it. So one of the things that a lot of you ask is, I'm worried about setting unrealistic goals and stuff. So I was thinking about the goals and what would be a really good way to kind of get some clarity on a goal weight. Because like when I first started, I've told you guys this a million times, I did not set a goal weight. I just didn't. Like, I don't know if I was, honestly, when I look back, I might have been afraid, or I honestly, when I think about it, I really just think I was so focused on improving things and making changes that I just didn't want to put my focus on a goal weight. But I had a goal. So my goal was like to eat better, to be able to play with Logan. So there were stakes in the ground for me. And when I think of goals, that's what I always think about, putting the stake in the ground out here. I'm going to tie a little rope to it. I'm going to run off in another direction. And then I'm going to use that rope to that goal as a guide to get there. Just so I kind of stay on path. So I don't veer off. My friend Rachel Hart, who does the Take a Break podcast, she talks about in one of her goal setting podcasts about how your goal is like it tethers you to the anchor if you're out at sea. And sometimes in sea, you're going to float around a little bit. But as long as you keep going towards that, you're going to get there. So that's what I like to think about as the goal. So you can either set like a number. One of the ways, like a lot of people will ask me, well, I'm afraid to set a number. If I set one too aggressive, it will derail me. Setting a number cannot derail you. It cannot do anything to you. Your number is just your number. That would be like saying, Karen, I can't use that pen. It looks like it's going to hurt me. It's an aggressive pen. It's just a pen. So a number is just a number. Now you may have thoughts like, that's too far. It's going to take forever. And that, like the beautiful thing about picking a number is it lets you bring up your fears and your true beliefs so that you know what might get in your way. So rather than you not setting a goal number, what I would encourage you to do is pick a number and then ask yourself, do I believe in this number? Just be honest. What do I think it's going to be like to get there? Do I think it's going to be hard? Do I think it's going to be easy? Does it feel doable? Does it feel like bad smoke and some crack? It's like, you know, well, I've never been there before. You'll smoke out what you're believing about the number. That right there, girls, is what creates a feeling in you of either fear or like you might just feel uncomfortable with it. But if you believe you can't get there, then your action line becomes look for all the ways sabotage can happen. So suddenly you start noticing all the candy dishes. Or like, let's say somebody invites you to lunch. Last week, they were nice. Oh, I'm included. Thank God. Like, I love them, blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, that bitch, like, I'd be able to lose weight. I can't lose weight because people keep asking me to lunch. Don't they know I'm on a diet? If your belief is it's going to be hard, it's going to be all these things, then what ends up happening is you start figuring out a way to prove it. You'll start talking about it like it's hard. You'll start talking about it like it's going to be impossible. You'll dread all the times you might overeat rather than strategizing what you might could do, figuring out how to make it easy. I want y'all all to think about this. If you can like just for a second think, what does my future self think about my journey now? She's going to tell you like, oh yeah, there were moments that were hard, but overall, we tried our best to just make things really easy. So if it started feeling too hard, we went to work on how can we make this easier. So your future self in the moments on the weekends is going to be like not getting like, oh my God, like we have so many plans. I thought this was going to be the time. I joined in September. My kid decided to start playing football. If I'd known every Friday and Saturday I was going to have to be doing football shit, I would have never joined. I would have waited till January. All of a sudden, your brain comes up with reasons why, rather than your brain saying, I wonder what is the easiest way to make a realistic plan when I have to be at the football field. I wonder what's the easiest way to just like figure out how to ask a question in the Facebook group to see what other football moms do.
I mean, it literally could just be boring easy, or it can be dramatically hard. One or the other, girls. It's going to be depending on what you think. So that number is going to bring up doo-doo, or it's going to bring up like, this is the one. Like, it's going to light your tail on fire. You're going to be like, oh shit, this is it. Like, I'm so focused. We had somebody post in the tribe. She's 62 years old today. God love her. I cannot remember her name. Let me see if I can find it. If Mary Jo was here, she would know. It's going to drive me crazy if I don't find this. Gail. She's 62 years old. She joined. She is 1.4 pounds from Century Club. She's coming to camp, and she's going to be in our Century Club photo shoot. She set a goal. She was determined to get there. She joined, or I think she joined in January, if I'm not mistaken. Guys, Gail is the living, breathing example of exactly what I'm talking about. If, Betsy, if you'll go to the Facebook Five Queen, and in the show notes, will you post a link to that Facebook post? That would be great. Or just copy her text and put that in the show notes of that. That would be awesome. Because people need to read this. Like, people literally need to post the actual copy into the show notes so that all of our non-Facebook users get to see this. You could probably even attach her picture in there if you want to. But anyway, Gail is an example of someone who just decided, like, I'm going to make it easy on myself. I'm going to set a goal. I'm going to choose not to be, like, scared of it. She may have been scared, guys. She may have had self-doubt. I haven't talked to Gail. I don't know what she did every single day. But what she didn't do, she didn't let that be an excuse, reason, or good enough moment to not do. She decided to know where she was going. She just started doing the things, the four basics. She literally is like, it's the four basics till I die. So, like, set your number, like, just pick one and then see what comes up for you. And then what I would do for some of you, I would think about is, like, if you're having a hard time picking one, what does your gut say is a good starter number? That is usually a really good bypass around getting kind of effed up in your head about, like, I don't know, I haven't, like, weighed 150 since I was in the eighth grade or whatever. Like, think about, like, what does my gut say is a good number for me? Start with that one. Do not ask me if it's realistic or not. Do you think this is realistic for me? I don't know. You know what we'll know? We'll know when we get there. That's when we'll know if it's realistic. Everybody in this tribe is going to pick a number, and it becomes realistic when we just get there. That's it. And the thing about it is, as you're losing your weight and stuff, you may want more. Like, I always, like, I want to tell you, when I finally set a target, my first one was like, girl, it's 175. Like, I thought, I'm going to be the shebang. This is going to be it. I've never been able to get below 175, like, all the things. And when I got to 175, I didn't go like, I don't know if I can set another goal. I was just like, I think I can do more. You get to move your goal if you want to. You also get to move it closer to you. Like, if you think, like, well, real, like, in the end, I'd like to be 175 grand. But, you know, for now, I would love to focus on, like, that first 25. I think if I focus on my first 25, I can stay more dialed in. I can, like, it like, allows me to drop into the space of making it easy. Because the first 25, I know I could lose easy. Because sometimes if it's going to trigger you to think about 175 or 150, if it's going to trigger you to suddenly try to start eating like someone who weighs 150 and 175, and you're starting at 250 like me, and you know it's like, all right, that goes against everything Corinne says, then do it differently. There's no reason not to. But what I don't want you doing is, I don't want you not setting a number, thinking a number is going to make you feel bad. Would much rather you say, like, you know what? I want to see the thoughts I have about this number that I generate to create bad feelings for myself. I really want you guys to start learning how important it is to take ownership of, I am creating the thoughts. I am creating the feelings. Nothing else is. I never have to be a victim ever again. things can happen in the world, and I will always decide what I'm thinking and feeling. It won't be because someone else or something happened. And that is really important. So another good exercise you can do that's part of future self, it's not in the book, guys, this is bonus work if you want to do it, is for those of you who are having a hard time accessing your future self, you can do an exercise called Wouldn't It Be Cool If? I got this one from Marie Forleo. So good. It's you just sit there and it's like, there's going to be no guilt. There's going to be no obligation to do it. There's not going to be nothing. It would just be like, I'm just going to think, wouldn't it be cool if I shopped in these stores, if I felt this way, if I ate these things, if I knew how to food prep? Like, let your brain go wild on the things that you think, you know, it'd be kind of cool if with your weight loss journey. And then, and just let your brain kind of go wild, because what most of us do is we sit around and think, that would be good, but that's not for me, but I don't know how, but I've never been shown that. We go straight back to our past. We go straight back to all of our previous conditioning, as that's the rule. That's the golden rule. What we want to do is we want to be like, wouldn't it be cool if? If means like the future. And you make a list of those things. And the way that I would suggest you do it is you make a list of those things and you circle like one or two that really kind of light you up. And you start thinking about how could I easily start doing some of these things? How could I easily start learning some of this stuff? What's a good first step? We don't need the perfect step. We just need a good first step. If you don't know one, just be like, go in the Facebook group and say like, I've never been a food prepper. I keep seeing all these cool food prep pics. It looks amazing. I don't really know jack shit about cooking. I wish I had had a Facebook group when I first started cooking, because let me just tell you, I had some cookbooks and a lot of shit that didn't work out. And we were broke back then. And so like, we weren't broke, but we weren't going to be like throwing all of our food out because Corinne cooked. It was like, we're going to eat it and be like, better luck next time. So, you know, go in there and be like, what's a good first step? Like, I know some of you had to teach yourself how to food prep. If you could give me a good first step, what would it be? And then take some of the stuff they give you and look for something doable. Throw out the rest. Or keep them on a separate list and just keep adding to make it doable. When you really think about, like, how do I make this easy on myself? Wouldn't it be cool if you start stepping into future self talk? I'm going to promise you, your brain starts opening up to new solutions and new things that you've always pooped simply because no one ever told you you could think differently. That's it. We're just not told that stuff. So this is just some stuff I wanted to talk to you about. I just want you to get really focused on your dream. I want you to really think about, like, what number would I like to weigh? What's a good start for me? It'd be really cool if I did these things. And then that kind of brings us into compelling reason. All right. This is the one that floors everyone for some reason. And I think I know why it floors everyone. Compelling reason is literally easy, but we complicate it because we're waiting for the compelling reason to be like, this has to be like that reason that makes me cry. And that some kind of a light bulb literally explodes in my head. And then suddenly I'm going to know exactly what to do. And every time I want to overeat, I'm going to be sitting there thinking of my compelling reason. And I'm going to go like, not today, Satan. No. Compelling reason is not your enlightenment. It is not doing anything for you. It is the reminder that whatever you're fixing to do that you don't want to do, here's why you decided you wanted to do it. So if you're not going to eat at 8 o'clock at night and you're committed as the pig is to the bacon, and when 8 o'clock rolls around, you have to remind yourself of one of 20 of your compelling reasons, at least one, if not go through all of them. Now, that doesn't mean in the moment that you're going to be like, oh, it's an easy no. It's like, no, you're going to sit there and you're going to have your compelling reason like, I want to be able to go shopping with my daughter and we go to the same store. I do not want to have to bring my daughter to Lane Bryant anymore. I just don't want to do it. I want to shop the same clothes. I want to shop the same store she does. If that's like one of your compelling reasons, somebody said that the other day, and I thought that was such a unique and good one, especially since I only have a boy. But I was like, that's good. But you know what's going to happen at 8 o'clock at night after she's had a bitchin' ass day and all this other kind of stuff? She's going to be sitting there and like, this is not wine. This is an empty water bottle, but the wine bottle is going to be sitting there. She's drank a glass of wine every single night to unwind, to get to be the gateway drug into the cookies. And she's going to think about shopping with her daughter. And that's just going to give her a pause. That's it. It's not going to keep her in the seat. It's not going to make all the other thoughts go away. It's not going to do any of that. Your compelling reason is for you to use in the moments when you don't want to do something that you said you would do. It is just so that you don't just do the things you don't want to do automatically anymore. That's literally it. Having your compelling reasons also, what it does is the more you have, and the more you write them, the more your brain also, there's this thing called reticular something or other. It's like RA something. But it's basically where it's the concept of what you seek is what you find. And the way the brain works is it's like a computer. And so if you're writing your compelling reason every day, and you're thinking about like what you want, and you're writing your goals, the reason why we do the four circles is because if you're writing your goals, you're writing your compelling reasons every single day. Your brain is wired now to go look for how to make that stuff happen. If you don't, guess what your brain goes to look for? Anything that you just think automatically. So if you have a lot of fat girl thinking, if you have a lot of just bullshit thoughts, your brain goes to prove all your bullshit thoughts true. It's what it does. If you give it something new, it will hunt for it. Especially if you give it to it over and over and over again. It doesn't mean you're going to write, guys, like you're not going to get your planner out and in 7 days be like, I don't understand. I'm still struggling with my 24-hour plan. I'm not following it every day. You may have to do it for 30 days. Are you willing to do it for 30 days for it to work on day 31? Or you're like, well, I don't know, here for seven. And then I'm like, fuck that. Let me just go back to my usual doobitch. Don't go back to your usual doobitch. You have to keep plowing forward. Your future is in front of you. You know where your future is not? In your past actions. It's not there. If you're going to go to your past, the only thing that you are willing, that you are like, I want you to do is every time you start thinking about your past, it's like, and we stop. What did I learn from that experience that's going to take me forward? Start using your vacations to your past to get you to your future. Quit going back there and saying, because of this is why I can't do this. If you're going to do that, then you go, because of this is why I am choosing today. I am just not doing it. I'm going to blame that. Because right now I'm going to eat. And that I'm blaming. At least be honest. Because you know that your diet in 92 at the Jenny Craig is not why you're eating a donut today. But we will say, I ate a donut. It's got to be my past diet mentality. Like, no, it's because you said you can't lose weight and you decided in that moment, I will not lose weight today. Telling yourself truths like that, guys, so empowering. Feels a little crazy, but truth wins out. This other shit, that's not even the truth. It's just something you keep putting on repeat, so don't do it. So if you're going to go to your past, what did I learn? Why did that happen so that I could learn what now? What is it about that I keep going back to? If I'm going to go back and like think about it, I'm going to think about it on purpose in a way that's going to serve me. That's when you get out your planner, you go to the back part, you know where it says TDL, journal? Write. Every time you think about your past, that is an invitation to write. Notice this stuff. If you don't have your journal, guess what you can do? Have a super Pro tip. You just get out. I keep these everywhere. You get out a sticky note, guys. You write some doobage you thought about your past. And you just put it in your purse so that then you can just put your sticky notes in your journal. Then you start collecting your own prompts of like, whoa, that was a thought. That's probably one I need to look into. You write about it. It's so simple. So your compelling reason. You just write a bunch of them, as many as you can. That's it. In the guide, guys, the way that it's written, I know is a little crazy. Hang on, I got to find it. Sorry, got so many screens up. What I did was I tried to give you, you can do this one of two ways. What I tried to give you in there is, what do you want? I want weight loss. Why do I want it? Like, why do I want to look good? I tried to just give you some prompts so you can come up with different ways to attack your compelling reason. So it's like you can ask questions like, let me see, I think I jotted down a few more somewhere. Maybe I didn't. So you think about like, who's waiting on me? Why do I want it? Who else might benefit from my weight loss? What are the things that'll be better in my life? What experiences will I be able to do when I lose my weight? What health things might change? All of that. Just come up with as many different ways to do it as you can. Like, if you want to feel important, why do I want to feel important? You know, a lot of you want to lose weight because you want to be noticed. You want to feel important to yourself. You want to prioritize yourself. Those can be compelling reasons. So I just kind of gave you some questions, but please feel free to not be limited because I gave you a worksheet. I want you to just free write it. And one of the things that you guys can totally do is take this to Ask Coaches. I mean, or, well, you can take it to Ask Coaches and you can flesh a bunch of them out. And they'll be like, this looks good. Or maybe you want to phrase this one differently. But you all, sorry guys, I got something in my eye, crazy. You can also take it to the Facebook group and somebody just start a post about compelling reason. Just be like, here's mine. What's yours? You can list one. You can list all of them. You can start seeing there's no reason why you can't steal someone else's compelling reasons. One of the best ways to get like whys and stuff is to read what other people are posting. They're like, woof, that felt good. That's mine. That's mine. They don't have to be super unique. You don't have to make this that hard. And then the last thing I definitely wanted to cover, and then I'm going to go to the Q&A, is the four circles. A lot of you ask, like, how often should you adjust your goals? The four circles are so that, remember when I talked about when you put your stake in the ground, your 1 year out goal is so that you have your stake in the ground of how much you want to lose ultimately. Does not have to be the perfect number, guys. If you want to pick 12 pounds in a year, put 12. I don't really care. But what I want you to do is I want you to think about, in about a year from now, where do I see myself? About what number? Put a range in there if you want. That's fine. And then what it does is when you break it down by the month and then you break it down by the week, it starts showing you the smaller steps to get there. And then when you write in your daily actions, when you actually handwrite what it's going to, like, these are the things I'm going to need to do today. Like a lot of times with mine, I will put down things like, I'm going to need to meditate today before lunch. Sometimes when I meditate before lunch, just 2 minutes is enough to get me to pay attention to my hunger scale. I'm going to need to, like a lot of times, like, I'll be tempted to want to stop and get a snack if I'm going to be like out and I'm not going to plan to eat while I'm out and all that kind of stuff. I'll want to stop and get a protein bar. Sometimes because I'm hungry, most of the time because protein bar tastes kind of good. And so I will put like, I will need to not stop today to get a protein bar. I will need to remember it's not on my plan. Like I just think about like, you can write down 2 to 2. You can write down anything you want, but I like to write down a few specific things that I'm going to need to think about for that day. I'm going to need to, like if I'm going to go out to eat, I'm going to need to look the menu up ahead of time, something like that. All right. But that's the four circles. You can adjust it as often as you want. Well, here's what I would suggest some of you do. even though it says 1 year, 1 month, 1 week, daily, if you don't want to think that far out, you can always pick like 2 months, 1 month, 1 week daily, 3 months, 1 month, 1 week daily. You can do those also. Just because it says 1 year doesn't mean that you can't cross that out and put whatever you want in there. It's light blue ink. So you can do like I do. I like mine right now is for December 31 of 2019. So I've been kind of rolling towards it all year long. I haven't moved it out. When I hit December 31st, I'm going to set the new one, but I've just like allowing it to be there. Now, some of you will say like, well, what if I get really far behind? Seeing that number is freaking me out. Like, okay, then adjust it. It's just a number. Don't sit there and think the number's freaking you out. What's freaking you out is you not being willing to meet yourself where you're at. Like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to figure out why I'm off track. I'm going to figure out why I'm not on track for my goal. Like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at like, here's the for sure things I've learned over the last 6 months. And now I'm going to set the new goal and I'm going to learn from that so that by the end of the year, I've cleaned up some of this stuff. That's all you have to do. It's easy, right? All right. Let's do some questions. Let me put this back on. Where do I go to have private coaching? Guys, if you will go over to PNPtribe.com and whoops. Oh, crazy. Hang on. My view went to like, it went to like large ass mode as if, I am blind. Let's just admit it. But if you go to Get Coached and you want one-on-one coaching, now guys, one-on-one coaching is where somebody has said, I have something significant I need to work on. It's really kind of outside the scope of the tribe, or like you really just want a one-on-one experience. We do have it right now. We are on wait list. It says all slots are currently filled. Check back for availability. We are getting ready to open up in October. There will be some more spots opening. We're just full right now. And then we're also going to set it up to where you guys can go ahead and get in line and like pay for your coaching, and then you'll be the next one up kind of thing. But if you want some kind of one-on-one coaching, that is where you would go. Now, don't forget though, guys, rarely anybody needs this. We have a small percentage of the tribe who just has just some real stuff they want to work through. Because you know we're all life coaches. We're not just weight coaches. And so there's Ask Coaches. You can take anything you want over to Ask Coaches. There is the Facebook group. We have Q&As out the wazoo. We have my coaching calls and stuff. So, and we have office hours. So don't ever think that whatever it is you want to work on that you can't raise your hand and get help here, because you absolutely can. Can you have more than one compelling reason? I suggest everyone have 20, like 20. And then one of the things I would like to do, Betsy, is in this call, let's hook up the John Acuff call where he and I talked about, he wrote the book Finish. So if you're a perfectionist, it's an amazing book, but he wrote the book Finish. He was, I interviewed him last year inside the tribe just for our members. And you can listen to that call where he talks about compelling reasons and stuff. It was really good. I've been with PNP since January. I have failed so many times that I don't even see my future self as anything different than what I am right now. Well, here's the thing, Melissa. She is different than who you are right now. That's just the way it is. The Melissa of today is very different than the Melissa of January. The Melissa of today is different than the Melissa of last month. If you start trying to draw, you start trying to figure out how you're different, you'll find it. Right now, you're just trying to figure out how to stay stuck in your bullshit. I know it's not benefiting me to think like that. Nope. But I think more often than not lately that I'm going to be this weight for the rest of my life and have difficulty visualizing myself differently at all. Why do you have to visualize yourself different? Just start telling yourself, I will not be this weight the rest of my life. Start there. Start with, I'm going to work on the first 10 pounds. Going to work on the first 5. Is there a point where it is better to just accept yourself the way you are so you don't spend the rest of your life trying to lose 15 dang pounds? Oh, so you have 15 pounds to lose. I mean, you can, Melissa, but do you, like, you have to ask yourself, this is where you've got to figure out, why are you losing weight? This is an important question. Your reason needs to be, like, good. And I don't mean, like, a good compelling reason. Compelling reason is, like, what draws you towards your goal. You need to do a gut check on why you keep trying to lose 15 pounds and keep a problem around. Why are you keeping this 15 pounds around is a really good question to ask yourself. Why am I hanging on to 15 pounds? If you really want to lose it, you would lose it. So why don't I want to lose 15 pounds right now? Because it's easier than it is to not have my binges. Because it's easier. It's easier to keep the 15 and dream about it than it is to actually, like, you know, I really like the way I eat right now. It's going to be easier to weigh this than it is going to be to level up some of this stuff. Maybe you like to have wine 3 or 4 times a night and you're able, or 3 or 4 times a week. And in order for you to lose your weight, it's like, you know, it's probably going to have to go down to 2. Got to start somewhere. But it's going to be way easier to want to lose 15 pounds and think about losing 15 pounds and all that kind of stuff than it is to be like, you know what, probably going to have to just quit eating, drinking wine twice this week and see what comes up. How do we honestly think and write about the future when your current day has multiple roadblocks that I'm trying to get through, trying to get my thoughts wrapped around and takes all my mental energy? I feel so tired and have TDL the shit out of it. How do we honestly think and write about the future when your current day has multiple roadblocks? I think you have to figure out what your current roadblocks are, why you're using those as an excuse to not go after your dreams. I would start telling myself, I won't go after my dreams because of these things. You're using them as can'ts. I just want you to be honest. You need to start with honesty with yourself. I want you to write that down. I won't lose weight right now because of these things. And that's a choice. You can start solving those things. And of course, you're going to be mentally exhausted at night. But why does that have to do with anything to do with eating? You're mentally exhausted. Go to bed. You're mentally exhausted. Take a break. Work on why you think eating, I'm assuming you're eating at night because you talked about, you know, at night. And Julie, take this shit to the Ask Coaches. If you're not getting anywhere with your own thought downloads and models, take it to Ask Coaches. But take one thing. Don't take all the roadblocks. Figure out the one you want to just start with. This is the one I'm going to wrap my arms around with. What is a good way to get out of my head about having to do all of this perfectly? Start telling yourself, like, guys, I'm going to, like, seriously, this is simple. Y'all always like, tell me how to get out of my head about making it, I don't have to do it perfectly. Every time you want to do it perfectly, you have to override the desire for perfection and insert action. That's it. You're going to have to be willing to suffer your judgment and then stop yourself on the judgment. It's just deliberate thought changes. I would love to be able to tell you that there's some kind of magic potion other than you're going to have to do it imperfectly and get used to doing it imperfectly until you figure, like, oh, that's so much faster than doing it this bullshit way I've been doing it. It's also easier. That's it. Let's see what else you said. I have not started the planner because I'm waiting for October 1st to start a fresh month. I've been printing the 24-hour plans. That's fine. If you've been printing the 24-hour plans daily, that's fine. Now I have tons of unfinished sheets sitting around. Okay? Then rather than having tons of unfinished sheets, go get one, Raina. Go get one right now and make one for the rest of the night. This will be great practice of imperfectionism. I do this all the time. There are times in the mornings when I choose not to make my plan because I decide something else must be more important. And then at like 1 o'clock, I'm like, I should make my plan. Sometimes at 7 o'clock, I'm like, I should make the plan. I'm going to backfill what happened. Sometimes I just imagine what I would have planned. I'm always going to learn something. I know the number that my BMI says I should be. Is that the number I should choose? I was originally thinking 150 would be awesome. Then after I checked the BMI, it says I should be 140. I don't go by the BMI for jack shit. BMI has been debunked for so long. I just wouldn't even worry about that. Just pick 150. Start with 150. It feels good. You said it felt awesome. Start with 150. Get to 150 and then be like, I am a badass. I weigh 150 pounds. Do I want to weigh less or do I just think this is amazing? I have the Jewish holidays coming up and my conditioning is we eat and eat, no routine. How can I recondition my beliefs around the holidays? I coached on this recently to someone and I don't remember the call, but I said, like, where in the Jewish holiday does it say thou is supposed to gorge self? Please practice gluttony. It's the Jewish holidays. Here's what we do with the Jewish holidays. God said, I would love for all of you to be miserable in your body, overfill it, and abuse yourself. God bless. He doesn't. That would be like all of us Christians saying, it's Easter. How do I wrap my head around not gorging myself on Easter? It's like, it's the same thing of like, just think about your birthday. It's like, how do I wrap myself, my head around not just sitting around enjoying myself all day on my birthday and eating all the cake and eating all the things? It's like, I don't know. Here's a good way. Celebrate your birth. Celebrate your life. Don't celebrate in a way that's going to take years off of it. Think about your Jewish holidays. I'm very passionate about this. Think about, what are we really celebrating? Just because people have introduced food into the tradition does not mean that we're supposed to throw away our health and eat to gluttony. Ask in the tribe what some of the other Jewish members are doing. In fact, my coach, she was rearranging our calls because she's going to be celebrating the Jewish holidays. I guarantee you, my coach, who does the hunger scale just like I do and stuff, she, not one time did she say, hey, I need to rearrange your calls. I'm going to be eating my face off and celebrating the Jewish holidays. I'm supposed to lay around, do nothing, and eat my face off. That is not the conversation we had. She said she's going to be celebrating the Jewish holidays and she'll be off. Sounds pretty simple. How do you figure out how to break it down by week and month? Just divide, do math. So like if you, you know, if it's 8 pounds in a month, then a week would be 2 pounds. And so like if you wanted to do 8 times 3 months, be 24 pounds in 3 months, be 8 pounds in a month, in 1 week, that would be 2. You could do it that way. I'm itching for a break from planning. I just dread having to open that binder. I keep 90% of my plans and I've only missed 3 total since June. I'm just so done. Is this stage 2? I still do it. I just don't like it. You need to figure out how to like it. You know what this is? This is kind of like stage 2, but you need to ask yourself, why do I need a break from planning? That's the golden question here. Because whatever your reasons are, I'm going to tell you, they're going to take you closer to being overweight. I'm just a dread. Why are you dreading it? Like, you need to think about this. Your brain is trying to set you up for something. Like, I want you to really dig in. Like, ask yourself over and over again, why could I be dreading this? Why could I be dreading this? Why could I be dreading this? Like, come up with like 20 possible answers. And then look and be like, oh, you'll see one. You'll see at least one and be like, holy shit. I didn't realize that I was like tired of feeling deprived or something along those lines will come up. Then you can question it and you can say like, well, that's some bullshit. Am I really deprived because I have to make a 24-hour plan? No, because I can put anything I want on it. So that's a lie that my brain's telling me. So go through it that way. Carbonated water, yay or nay. I love it. I set my goal for 135. Lowest weight I've ever been is 145. And that was for a second. My highest was 230. I have told a few people my 135 and they all look at me like I'm crazy. And a few have said, is that realistic? I'm choosing to believe it is. Why not? Just because I never have. I am. Am I fooling myself? No, you're not. Like, baby, guys, y'all are never, the only time you're fooling yourself is when you're actually lying to yourself. Like when you're saying things like, you know, my past is why I can't do it. That's called fooling yourself. Here's how we'll know if you're going to weigh 135. You'll either get to 135 or you'll get to a number you love and you'll be like, you know what? I really like this. I just thought I wanted to weigh 135. I actually wanted to weigh this. That's it. So far, I've been able to watch all these Zoom calls to help us newbies through the no BS. However, if I need to miss one, where can I find the replays? Oh, you just go over to, Les, just go to pnptribe.com. And then at the top, there's like a hamburger menu on your phone. If you click on it, there will be something called video replays, latest recordings. You can catch it there. There's also, they're in the Private Member Podcast. So all, if you go to the Private Member Podcast where the Tribe live trainings are, you can just go straight there. We upload them into there. All calls are 24 hours except any calls that happen on Sundays. We don't load usually Saturday and Sunday until Tuesday because Sadie is off on Mondays. Like she's actually flying home right now. She was in Nashville this weekend. But so everything that we did this weekend will be up tomorrow. But it's super simple. And you're very welcome. How do I visualize my future self when I feel so fat and ugly and embarrassed of myself right now? You set all of that aside. You do not have to see the thin self. This is what I want you to think about, Jill. I want you to be like, okay, I want to visualize the version of me that starts to like themselves, that's starting to talk to themselves differently. What would she be saying? She wasn't saying all this crap. What would she be saying? Make a list of some of that stuff that you think. But guys, here's the thing. You do not need to think that if you visualize your future self, that somehow that's going to hurt you. It can't hurt you unless you have a thought like, that can't ever happen for me. And I would rather you know that you're thinking that so that you can work on those thoughts than to be like, well, I'm not going to visualize my future self and I'm not going to set a goal so I don't have to feel bad. It's like, you feel bad now. When you're not working towards something and you want something and you're not taking action towards it, there's something wrong on the inside. You will feel bad anyway. You might as well like invite it in some. Like let yourself be like, all right. If I didn't talk so negatively to myself, what is a version of me that I could love? Like, what is a version of me that I could start to love? What is like some things I could start loving about me? Start working more on that. Due to autoimmune, I'm for sure no sugar, no flour. I can't stick to it for more than 3 days in a row. What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. It's that you need to quit telling yourself you're for sure no sugar, no flour. You aren't. You keep proving it that you aren't. You need to say, I'm someone learning to be no sugar, no flour. That's more of the truth. There's nothing wrong with you. You're learning how to do it. You need to ask yourself, after when I hit that third day, what comes up for me? What is it that I'm not willing to experience? What feelings am I not willing to experience? What physical sensations am I not willing to experience? What thoughts do I start having on that third day? Make a list of them. Guys, please stop asking me what's wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with any of you. You all have brains that are functioning just fine. You have an entire history from the time you were born until now where you thought things and were exposed to things. You thought them over enough time and time again to where your brain just throws them up. You want to understand that key component that there's nothing broken and nothing wrong, because if all it takes is to figure out some new thinking, put it on repeat, consciously, deliberately, exhaustively, while the old's going, here's how the brain works. It's fucking lazy. Lazy is all get out. If you, every time you think the poop, and you actively change it, and you don't argue like, why is this happening to me? Why am I so broken? If you resist doing that, like when you hear it, be like, well, that's whining, not whining. Green told me I couldn't whine. If you actively think the new things and you do not get frustrated with how often you are thinking, then the brain starts going like this. All right, we think this, but we're actually not acting on this now. We're actually thinking about this. Like every time I think this, it triggers this thought. So your brain's like, well, I'm lazy. I'd like to just get to this thought faster. I don't want to have to go the long way to get there anymore. It will start making that the first thing you think. And then this one will just come up in the background. But you'll have this one as the one that's taking hold. That is just how it works. I wish that I could like suck all your brains out and give them a good cleansing, send them back to you polished up with all the beautiful thoughts already implanted, and all things would be easy with weight loss. It just doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. You're gonna have to do it like I did. Every time I thought shit, I would say like, no, like that's how you think when you're overweight. That's all those thoughts that you used to quit on yourself. I would tell myself, that never worked. Why are we deciding to think that? This is what we're going to think. I did that over and over and over again. All the time. It was so worth it. And it doesn't take forever for this to happen. If you just make a plan every day, a very realistic one, allow yourself to judge it. Like, what do I think about this? Do I really think this is doable? Is this full of shoulds? Allow yourself to notice what you're thinking. And when you notice, just be like, you know what? But we're going to override the desire to feel bad about this. And we're going to keep going. And I'm always going to be learning. And I'm always going to be seeking my future self. I know she's out there. Even if you don't see her, even if she's a bare whisperer to you, if you can't even hear her right now, go to the future self of you in 2 weeks that is so proud of you for just showing up for your 24-hour plan for 14 consecutive days. And you planned all the things. And you were just really honest with yourself. And for the first time, you didn't just spend your days either eating to numb or beating yourself up for who you are. You just decided like, all right, we're going to like try this another way. I thought there were recovery worksheets in the planner. We don't put recovery worksheets in the planner. We put a sample in the workbook, but we have you guys just printing those off for yourself. And then I just suggest you just get a notebook or something. The planner just was getting to points where to have all the things we wanted in it so that you have plenty of plans and stuff. It was just getting really, it was going to be a binder if we put in recovery worksheets on top of it. So that's why we give them to you online so you could just print them. And if you don't want to print them, just handwrite it out and just be like, all right, I'll just answer these questions. Can you give some examples of how to identify new compelling reasons as you level up? Initially, I wanted to be healthy, comfortable in my body. Now I've achieved those things and need to find the right thoughts for the next 50 pounds. I would ask that in the tribe. I mean, one of the things you can do is just like, you know, are you losing weight for any, like, is anybody in your family going to be really excited if you lose weight? Is there certain clothes you would like to be able to wear? Is there like sizes you would love to be? You know, is there a certain like I want to be able to, you know, look at my body and be like, smoking hot, bitch, you know, whatever it is. I was doing Weight Watchers for the past 2 years and lost 75 pounds. I plateaued when they rolled out the freestyle. It did not work for me. Prior to that, I weighed 300 and I had already lost 36 on my own. I'm struggling breaking a year-long plateau. What can I do to break it? I don't know what freestyle is. I don't do the Weight Watchers stuff. So like, I'm like not sure, but do the four basics. If you're needing to break the plateau, you need to be making sure you're doing your four basics. Are you waiting for hunger? Are you done eating because of time? Like one of the things I do not like about Weight Watchers and calorie things is that people sometimes end up overeating on there because they're eating because they have this many calories. It's like if your body doesn't need that many calories that day, your body is saying, hey, my metabolism's running. Please don't overfeed me and slow me down. If there's a day where your metabolism is really running high and it needs a little more, it will send it to you. And when you feed it, you continue to stoke it. You know, listening to your body is the way you like really level out your metabolism. Calorie counting apps and stuff don't do that. They don't listen to the body. But I would make sure, Shannon, that you're doing the four basics. Take to ask coaches. Here's what I ate for the last 2 weeks. Here's how many times I start, like, of all my meals, like, count up how many meals you had every single day for 2 weeks. And then how many of them, like, the percentage of times I was actually hungry when I started, the percentage of times that I was at a two and not anymore, the percentage of times in 2 weeks that you drink all your water, the percentage of time you got all of your sleep in, and then post, like, and here's the sampling of the things I eat. Include all the things. And then let them go through it. I prefer to write on my laptop and cell phone. Should I consider handwriting at least some of the prompts? I like handwriting because when you handwrite, what happens is your brain has to synthesize material way different than using like a laptop or something, like if you're typing. What it does is, so when you write, your brain and your hand have to talk to each other. And they have a very different communication wave stream than if you are typing. Now, some people do use like GoodNotes and stuff where they're like actually handwriting with their iPad. It's not a deal breaker, but I do think that there's something different to handwriting. When my percents on the habit tracker are 75% and not 100%, I feel like a failure or ashamed I can't do it. Well, that's one way to look at it. Here's how Karen would look at it. When I'm 75%, which most of the time that's about where I'm at, I'm not like 100% all the time. I know you guys think that I'm just sitting around like, read my journal from today. Like, I didn't even follow my shit. Like, I was just like, well, this is going old. I'm going to eat that. Like, guys, it doesn't take perfectionism to lose weight. It takes application. That's it. So if I'm 75%, I'm like, oh man, I got like 25% stuff I can work on. I wonder what's in there. You're very welcome, Jesse. Do you do the journal page in preparation or as an assessment? I do. So are you talking about the 24-hour plan? I do it in the morning and then I assess the day before. So I assess the day before when I sit down to do my next day's plan. So I do that assessment, then I plan. So I'm always doing it that way. The journal pages in the back, like where the free journal ones are, that's what I use to write when I'm trying to like figure out something for myself. Like if I keep thinking something or I notice I've been hard on myself, I will write about it so I can figure out what I'm thinking. Good Lord, y'all, I'm gonna start choking. I'm trying to find a way to wrap my mind around my coworker pushing food and candy and treats. She's mean-spirited, is enjoying the brain karate. Other coworkers have confirmed this. Doesn't matter if they all confirmed it. Here's the thing. No one can make you feel bad, and no one can push food on you. And this is what happens. Hey, bitch, I've got candy. You should eat it. You're overweight. Everything that she just said now, guess what? It's now up to your interpretation. If somebody said that to me, you know what I'd just be like? I ain't got to eat jack shit. Sorry. I'd either say something like that or I'd just be like, wow, must be fun to be you. How do I get to where this doesn't bother me? You quit making it mean that somehow she has authority over you. All of you hear this. When you say someone is a food pusher, you have just said, someone can make me eat. That's a no. No one can make you eat. You are either going to do it or you ain't going to do it. You may not want to confront her. You may not want to say something to her. You may be trying not to hurt people's feelings. You may be worried what other people will think if you don't eat. That's all your choice. That ain't a food pusher. That's you called not showing up for you. So you got to get that straight. She's not the problem. This is when I talk about victim mentality, guys. You guys got to take ownership of yourself. So it's like, it's not that I can't handle it, I won't handle the food pusher. That's where we're at with this one. So here's what I want you to do, Andy. I want you to like woman up for yourself, man. You got to. You got to just be like, you know what? I don't like the way she acts. I don't like what she's doing and stuff. But for fuck's sake, seriously, someone that you don't like and what you don't like see like how she's being, why would you ever use that as an excuse to eat? Why would you ever use that as an excuse to be bothered? Someone who acts like an ass is not someone you need to waste your emotional bothered energy on. And you ain't the only one. I guarantee you, chat's probably lit up. Who's over here like, food pushers? Guys, there's no such thing as a food pusher. It'd be like saying, well, you know, people can just make me do things. No, nobody can make you do anything. You either sit there and you do it because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, because if you hurt their, if for some reason, if you think someone's going to get upset, guess what? You feel bad. You're being selfish. One, you're blaming them. Two, it ain't because of them. It's because you don't want to feel bad. So just own that piece. Then you get to take authority over it. It's like, she's not a food pusher. What else did you call her? She's mean-spirited with the food and does brain karate. You need to be worried about your brain, not hers. Your brain needs to be doing karate like, hula! We're not like taking your food suggestions anymore. And just don't think like she's not a food pusher. You know what she is? Someone offering food. You know what I am? Pushing it back. All right, girl. For the four circles, you change your total as you lose weight. Start at needing to lose 50, then only need to lose 45. I think you're making too much out of it, Suze. I kind of answered this earlier, but yeah, just keep it as the same number and just keep working toward it. I like to just keep it as the same number and work towards it and be like, oh, I got there. And then like get to start all over. I think that's exciting. I've lost 35 pounds in 62 days. The day I watched you, your free course video, Corinne, you're a blessing. Oh, you're welcome, JW. Would you mind clarifying more about eating 2-2 versus when we're planning overeats? When you're planning an overeat, guys, you're not really doing 2-2. You're planning an overeat so that you get really conscious about what you're doing to yourself. You're trying to make the experience miserable for you. That's the planned overeat experience. It's not about like my hunger scale. It's like, you know what? I've done like 55 24-hour plans. And on number 56, I'm going to finally plan the sleeve of Oreos that I scarf down every night and beat myself up over the next day, wonder what the fuck's wrong with me because I can't not eat Oreos every night. So now I'm going to plan the Oreos. Me and the sleeve, we're doing it eyes wide open. We're putting it on the plan. We're going to feel a little nervousness all day long. We're going to let all the thoughts of like, how the hell do you lose weight eating a sleeve of Oreos? This must be some voodoo magic, blah, blah, blah. All of that is the conversation that has to be happening. So that when it's time to eat the Oreos, we're not numb, we're not zoned out, we're not getting relief, and we ain't happy. First couple might be fun and games, ladies, but if you got to sit there and eat a sleeve of Oreos on purpose versus thinking it just happens to you each night, it sucks. Because about halfway through, you start judging yourself. You're like, there's no way we can lose weight, and blah, blah, blah. Then you can stop if you're like, man, this kind of stinks. Stop eating. That's what we need to happen. We need to get it to the point to where this kind of stinks is like what happens when you want the Oreos. It's like, it kind of stinks that I would want Oreos because there's no way in hell I'd lose weight eating a sleeve of Oreos every night. That is very different. 2-2 is like our guideline for all of our eating. Planned overeats are for times when we just aren't breaking through on how to stop urges and how to stop our overeating patterns. We've collected enough overeats and recovery worksheets to be like, okay, need to back the truck up. I've got to change the game. I've got to quit allowing myself to just break my plan every night, feel relief from the urge, experience the pleasure of zoning out, and then the next day trying to do that all over again. We have to break that cycle. Has there been a call for binge eaters? I've heard individuals coaching on binge, but I'm not sure if there's been one call. We've had some in the past, Christina. If you just go to the video replays and look up binge, there's been different calls where we've had some and we've kind of pieced some together and stuff. Okay, guys. I think I've talked about most of this and there's a lot more questions. If I eat to a 3 or 4 at a meal, would you recommend doing a recovery worksheet every single time? That's an overeat. Yeah, I think most of this is all stuff I've already asked. Okay. Guys, I just want to tell you, I love, like, my favorite worksheet in this one is the future self letter. I'm going to close with a story. So when I went to the life coach school and got weight certified, I'd never done a future self letter. I didn't even know what the hell a future self letter was. And I spent 8 days there learning how to, like, teach all this stuff and coach and whatnot. And I sat down with who is my current coach. I have my own coach. Just like you guys have me, I have my own person that I go to help me work through all my stuff when it comes to just Logan and family and, you know, running a business and all the things, right? And she was my master coach. And we did my future self letter. And I was so excited. And there was something, like, for me, my letter was not about weight, but it was the first time that I'd ever thought about Logan having a better future. He was little then. He was, let's see, he was born in 2002. This was in 2015. So what is 15 minus 2? So he was like 12. I always, like, and he was going through a really tough time. We were getting ready to move him to a special school. He had been going to the school I'd went to. We put him in private school. If you don't know our story, it was really hard for him to even get into that school. We were very blessed that he could go to that Catholic school for as long as he could. And then his sixth grade year, they just told us, like, you got to do something different. We just don't think we can help him anymore. And they just couldn't accommodate him the way he needed. So I end up going to life coach school, and I just never dreamed for Logan. I had just decided that we would always take care of him and that I was going to do my best by him and that he was an amazing kid and stuff, but I could literally not even go there. So I did that letter with her. And when I look back on that letter now, one, it shows me how far I've come and just my own ability to think big, because I was like, you know, well, we'll get him through high school and then he can live with us for like 15 years and then he'll be ready to be out on his own. And I had these dreams for PNP, and it was like, you know, like this, by this time, like it was going to be, it would have this 20-year goal, and PNP would, like, I would be able to, I can't even remember what my goal was. What was it? It was something like along the lines of like having, I think, 500 members, you know, and we would all be losing weight and just like, just, I was so limited in my thinking, but it was the first time that I'd ever really thought big. And I really started putting a stake in the ground of what I wanted for my child and not what I was afraid of for my child. What I wanted for my business and not what I was afraid for my business. I didn't do much. I've always had such an immense passion to help women, but I was so terrified that I couldn't do it. I had this belief that I wasn't smart. I just always believed I wasn't smart because I didn't go to college. I always believed that, like, I could never, like, make much money in my life. Like, we had always been broke and poor. So, like, I would charge $5. I literally charged $5.95 and was just as interactive as I am now. I mean, just, it was crazy. And it was the first time I ever really started putting a stake in the ground of where I wanted to go with my life. I wanted to be able to provide for Logan. Like, one of the things that I'd put in there that we've been able to start is I wanted to be able to fully fund his retirement program, his whole retirement plan, so that he can chase his dreams. he can do whatever he wants to do in life. And I started opening my brain up to all that. I have already gotten, like, I thought it would take me 20 years. I've been able to do it all in less than four actually, and quadruple all of it. I couldn't even think about where we would be, but I had to start somewhere. So for all of you that sit there and you can't like envision yourself and you can't visualize and all that other kind of stuff, I just want you to say, like, you know what? I've got to start somewhere. I don't have to be right. It does not have to be my final version. It doesn't have to be anything other than I'm just willing to dream for myself. If not anything, be willing to think about it so that you at least give yourself a chance to start looking for something different for you. I think this week is really important. I would not put it smack dab in the middle of everything we do if I didn't think that this kind of work isn't everything to what we do here at PMP. So the Future Self letter is very special for me. It's where I changed my relationship with my son and his future. It's where I changed my relationship with this business. There's only 38 people in this tribe who've been with me since 2015 when I got certified. The rest of you, had I not dreamed big and thought about where I wanted to go, you would not be here. I'd still be doing that, not believing in myself and not thinking that people didn't want to hear from me, that I was just lucky to have who I had. That's what thinking about your future does. Okay, I can't get this worked up. Otherwise, I'm not going to sleep tonight. You guys have a good one. I will talk to you. Let's see, what is today? Monday? I will see you guys Wednesday. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.